I'm looking forward to this, my sermon. Who knows how it'll come out? But anyhow, peace of God, peace with God. It's important that we think about the peace of God that passes our understanding or our ability to comprehend. Why we would be at peace when things are such a turmoil. Peace is stated to be a place of tranquility. This is a dictionary definition. Serenity, calmness, or quiet. It can be a pact or agreement to end hostilities. There is harmony in relationships, especially with God. Peace is a state of security or order within a community. Personal peace is a freedom from disquieting or oppressing thoughts or emotions. So peace of mind is what we are looking at. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, "And that ye study to be quiet." I didn't know that being quiet was such a study. Studying to be quiet means that we labor or dedicate time to acquire knowledge about being at peace. Study to be quiet, meaning quiet our emotions, not just to stop speaking. Now, this was written for the Thessalonians. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and telling them that they were not to, you know, don't worry about what's going on in the other cities, in the other churches, or other people in the community. He's telling them to be quiet, you know, not in being offensive or being offended. So study to be quiet is to seek the knowledge, and this is what I hope we can do today, is there the knowledge from God that helps us to quiet our minds, to quiet our spirit, to quiet ourselves before God. And so when Paul tells them, study to be quiet, it's like you've got to know the reasons. You know, most of the time when you're anxious and things like that, you are caught up with some emotion or some particular event that gets you all worked up. And Paul is saying, be quiet. I mean, be still, study, know all of the facts before you begin to react. Don't jump off, fly off the handle. You know, I didn't look it up as to find out where the origin is. But if you've ever been swinging a hammer or a sledge and you're ready, just coming down over and just hitting it and the sledge flies off, you better not be in its way. And so when people fly off the handle, it's a sledge coming at you. And they're ready to do damage. So don't fly off the handle. So study to be quiet and do your own business. Do not interfere with the business of other people that you don't fully understand. And to work with your own hands, as we command you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have, that ye may lack nothing. Okay. Study to be quiet, meaning seek for knowledge to understand what's going on, and in the whole process, you're going to find that you lack for nothing. And this is a very important, these are very important points for us to grasp, to study, to be quiet, gain knowledge and understanding, and realize that there is a reward from God that goes with it, that you will lack nothing. See, often whenever we compare things, we compare our weaknesses to somebody else's strength. When you're down on yourself, you pick up all the things that are no good about you, and you look at somebody else and say, wow, look how good they are, and they're not even a Christian. And it's like, stop that. It's like, don't interfere with that over there. Keep your mind here. So peace can find its way into any situation. And, you know, it's just like anxiousness can find its way into any situation. We're looking for peace. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Oh, this is a Christmas song. No. "For us He thought I was going back to Christmas. I pulled out a Christmas sermon by mistake. No. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Peace of God, peace with God, Prince of Peace. Now, this verse is one of those things that we're going to investigate, study. Now, the picture of the kingdom of peace could not be complete without the manifestation of a king. The kingdom of peace has to have a king. There is the Prince of Peace. There is kingdom, princedom. There is a kingdom that is the place where the peace of God is. We think of this verse, as I said, usually at Christmas, but there has to be this Prince of Peace, and he shall be the child born, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Prince of Peace. So we get that in place, have that in place. He is the one who is going to be the teacher that we are to study his word. A son is given, namely the one spoken of by Isaiah, the Emmanuel, the eternal one who was in the beginning with God before the foundation of the world. This is the one we're talking about. For there is no peace, for there is to be peace, the Prince of Peace will rule. For there to be peace in our heart, the Prince of Peace must be ruling. He is the kingdom, princedom, kingdom of God, peace of God in our hearts and minds. The Son is given to be. We often think of Christ, he is given to be our Savior. Yes, we just went through, in communion, we spoke of that. His blood was shed for our forgiveness, his body broken for our healing. We find that this Prince of Peace, this endless giver of life, is more than, he is the one who saves us, but he is also the Prince of Peace. So when his saving grace is part of our life, his kingdom, the Prince of the Kingdom, the Prince of Peace, is to rule within our lives. He is Wonderful, or Wonder Counselor, a wonder of a counselor. If there is to be peace in our life, we must connect with the wonder of a counselor, the one who counsels wonderfully. So what is he telling us? He's telling us to understand his word. He counsels us in his word. So the Word made flesh, Jesus himself, is our personal counselor. And how does he counsel us? Through the scriptures. Through the Holy Spirit speaking and interpreting those scriptures into our life. So, being at peace because the living Word counseled into our life. So I am at peace because of Jesus Christ. Now, we go on. He is called the Hero God, described in the fundamental virtues of a ruler with wisdom and strength. So, God is not telling us to be strong because everything's out of control and it all, you know, trust in fate, you know, no. Luck, no. He's telling us that he is in control of all things. Well, what about the, no. It's going to be what he wants it to be. Doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. Doesn't mean we shouldn't ask. It means that God is in control, and so when God is in control, we are to be at peace. Well, what about, you know, there's no what abouts. And there's no buts. There's only Jesus, the Prince of Peace. No. The Prince of Peace is the Everlasting Father, literally Father of Eternity, Father of Booty, or Abundance. He is the Father of Abundance, and as such is one who continually acts as a father to his people and acts on our behalf. Peace comes from the Prince of Peace, who governs from eternity to eternity, and he is in charge. There is eternity past, creation of time, to eternity future, new heaven and new earth, and there is no more time. And in this whole process, Jesus is in charge. Doesn't mean we understand it, but we know it's not just off on its own thing. Nothing catches God off guard. Nothing. I told you that God has a flat forehead because I tell him what to do, and he goes, "Oh, David, I never thought of that." It was good for a number of times, I know, but you know, after about 100 times, it loses its effect, but it's still a good joke. Maybe somebody hasn't heard it. I'll leave it behind. I won't use it again until maybe next week, but move on, preacher. So, God the Mighty One, the Almighty God. We find that in the movie The Chosen. I've been watching this, you know, over and over and over and over. Because there's, you know, I like to see that, you know, it's not all the characters and the events that go on in their life. There's liberty taken that set up the situations, okay? There's liberty taken. Well, how does Peter get out of the boat? Why does Peter get out of the boat, you know? Well, if you follow it back through the whole series of things, Peter has conflict in his life with he and his wife. Something happens, and he's upset. And this is a normal thing because, you see it a lot with Christians. And not all the time, but a lot. Because Peter he's given his life to Christ. He's following Jesus. He's going everywhere. And his wife has a problem. And Peter doesn't understand that you're out there taking care of all these other people. Why don't you just take care of me? Why don't you take care of my wife? I'm the one here. And so sometimes people say, "I've been following Jesus all my life and I got this." And it's a legitimate question. And Peter was upset about it. And we have also, Thomas. You know, he has a problem in the movie, you know, in the series of things. And Thomas has a problem. And he's basically has the same feeling. God is doing all this, but yet this happens to me. God is the Prince of Peace, even when these things happen to me, to you. They happen in, I don't know if it's in the movie or whatever, but in reality, it is God increasing our faith. If God does, you know, it's like if God performed a miracle every day in our life, and all we had to do was, "Oh, God, we need this," and poof, it's there. It's like the magic wand. And so if we do that and God shows up, what are we believing in? We're believing in God providing all this stuff, and it's magic, and everybody would believe. But you see, faith is not magic. It's not a Disney production. It is a reality that God is the Prince of Peace, and he is doing all things well, even when we don't understand it. Even when we're not in charge of it. You know, God says, "I got this." God, the Mighty One, the Almighty God, all-knowing, ever-present Prince of Peace, who was in the beginning with God, had glory with the Father before the world began, was loved by him before the foundation of the world, by whom he made the worlds and created all things. That's the guy. That's the one who is the Prince of Peace. He created all things, spoke them into existence. And do you think that we can screw this up? Mankind can screw it up? Well, mankind can screw up their life, but God ultimately has control. He ultimately has his finger on what's happening. And it's, you know, whenever the scripture says that when Satan comes in like a flood, that God will raise up a standard against him. You know, we moved the comma. When Satan comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. That's who the flood is. You and I, the body of Christ, is the resistance of evil. That you, the believer, the church of Jesus Christ, is what holds evil at bay. Satan can't overrun the world. Why? Because you're here. God's church is here. His followers are here. Evil can only go so far. devil on a leash. He can't do everything he wants to do. He can only do so far. And as we allow the Spirit to teach us, and number one, to be at peace, we are pushing back evil. We are holding it back, not because of our strength, but in the strength of God, by the Holy Spirit. The government shall be upon his shoulders. The government, well, he must have political parties if he, no. Govern the church, that which is eternal. And we find that people will push and pull for whatever they want. But we've got to understand that evil, the desire of evil is to destroy the Ten Commandments. Not just the Ten, but the laws of God. To destroy what God has put in place and to make evil look good and good look evil. That lets us know that evil is behind that. And we must pray for God to help us to stand in the way, stand in the gap, to be the person that allows the Spirit of God to touch their life and to love the unlovable, to spread the kingdom of God, to be at peace, knowing that God is in charge. Ephesians 1:21. He is far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, in every name that is named, and not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Study to know why you are at peace. Why are you at peace? Because he hath put all things under his feet. He gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He shall be that shall be upon his shoulders. You see, we are serving the God of eternity and you know, eternal boundaries. That means they don't exist. There's no ending to them. And he, in the world, this world is under his feet. So we don't need to be worried about what's happening next. We need to pray about who the people are in our life that we want to be part of the kingdom of God. Because when he returns, we don't want them left behind. Be at peace. Walk in his presence, knowing that God is there. Isaiah 32:17. And the study to be quiet, the work of righteousness. This is an interesting verse. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The work of righteousness, meaning we understand what it is to be right with God. We understand that the God who rules this world is the God who rules our heart. And he is there, and he says that the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I mean, this is one of those verses we could just plant ourselves in and recognize how much this means to us. The work of righteousness, you know, live a righteous life, a rightness before God. Live that kind of a life, and what's going to happen? The effects of it is quietness and assurance. And one of the other verses we said, what is it? That he is the booty, that he is the supplier of every need. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. All of that is part of this righteousness. Prince of peace. Peace with God. God is with me. He knows everything that is in my heart and life, and he desires to bless me. Prince of peace. Peace of mind. Peace with God. John 16:33. Jesus is talking. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. This is, you know, he, the Prince of Peace, Jesus says, in me you will have peace. So we are in Christ. Christ is in us. It's part of the deal. When we ask Christ to forgive us of our sins, he lives within us. It's part of the deal. We live in him. We have eternal life in him. We have an eternal perspective. We are safe, saved for an eternity. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. So I've told you these things so that we are living in him, and we may have peace in this world. No, excuse me, we may have peace, but in this world, you'll have trouble. We can't stop trouble from coming. Some people say trouble's their middle name. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus tells us. So, it's important to remember to whom Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to the believers. So why do we have problems? Because it's how our faith grows. Difficulties are ways of being able to grow, to produce fruit. Did you know if you grow a tree in a greenhouse, that, you know, fruit tree, put it in a greenhouse, sheltered, that when it puts its limbs out with the fruit on it, they'll break the limbs? Because the tree has never had the wind to strengthen its limbs. The wind actually strengthens the limbs of the tree. So the wind blowing in our lives, the difficulties that come and go, are all part of the strengthening process. You know, I know some of you would have bulging muscles because the difficulties that you face. But God, the winds that we have. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us," this is again the first verse we said, "For to us is born, a child is born, to us the son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So if we commit everything to God and are trusting him, then we do not need to be looking around for any other sources of peace. Could we have peace in Washington? How about peace in Beijing? How about peace in North Korea? I mean, you know, these things could blow up the world. Excuse me, who is the Prince of Peace? Who is the one who's going to fulfill his plan for the church? Who is the one who's going to fulfill his plan for our life? You see, no crazy person in any country is going to blow up the world until Jesus says it's time for this place to end. But in the prophecies and the prophetic picture of the future, we don't see that. But we do see conflict, and we do see how the enemies of evil try to destroy that which is good. But you see, that's why we have peace with God, for the peace of God. Philippians 4:6, Paul wrote this. He says, "Don't worry." Not the "don't worry, be happy," not that song. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." You see, everything that we worry about, we think about, we need to bring God into it. Every time we start getting anxious about something, we start thinking about what's going to happen, that's going to happen, bring Jesus into it. And make that a prayer. Because it's in that prayer we are surrounding the need or the difficulty, we're surrounding it with Jesus. And we are seeing that Jesus is not caught off guard by this difficulty. So, I'll skip a few things here. John 14:26. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you." There's that word teach, study, labor. We're part of this, part of understanding the Word of God. And what we're doing now is allowing the Holy Spirit to help us understand what God has been teaching for thousands of years, that he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And when John is writing this, he's writing it to the group, you know, at that time period, but he's also writing it to us, because everything I have said to you, what is considered most important in the life that Jesus lived here, is written in the Gospels and written in the letters to the churches and to people. And we find that I've told you what you need to know. And what you need to know is, I am the Prince of Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. See, this isn't something we earn. It isn't something we find along the road. It is something that God gives to us. And so maintaining peace, have you ever, maintaining peace, I don't have a couple minutes yet, but maintaining peace. Have you ever left your children at home alone? We got cameras to watch them now, but back in the old days, there was no cameras. So what were your instructions? Don't kill each other. Don't fight. The house better be in order when I get back. You know, things like that. So I was reading about a parent who said to their children, stay put, stay still, stay in touch. Stay put, stay still, stay in touch. Well, stay put. Paul was writing to the different churches in his instructions. He says, grace to you and peace. So when God is telling us to stay put, he's saying, my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to allow my peace to be with you in all situations. Remember the text in Isaiah 6. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We do not need to look someplace else. So stay put. In our faith, in the Word, don't allow anything to take it away. To have the peace of God, we need peace with God, which is forgiveness and trust and grace and mercy. Stay put, stay still. Stay still. The natural response to anxiety is what? We were at a restaurant the other day picking up Rachel's dog, you know, Shadow. And while we were sitting there, there was this guy pacing back and forth. He's on the phone. I mean, I bet he did. He was pacing when we got there. And whenever I was leaving, he was walking out. And I said, well, did you solve the crises? You know, because he was anxious. He was trying to work through a difficult situation. You know, whenever we're anxious, we not only move physically, but often our mind runs. And whenever our mind runs, it generally picks up lots of things along the way. And we need to remember, be still and know that I am God. And then stay put, stay still, stay in touch. You know, God was the first one to do instant messaging. It wasn't a text, it was an instant message. And what is the instant message? Pray about everything. And that God hears every prayer. So stay in touch is a matter of reading the scriptures and recognizing that God is the God who sees us through all things. There is only one place we find peace, and that place is the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 91, verse 9 through 16. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. That's a Wednesday night scripture. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Those were the two symbols of power and authority. Kings saw themselves as lions, and you know, others were as serpents, you know, strong and deadly. And God is telling them in the psalmist, don't worry about them. Don't worry about the kings and the serpents and all those, because I've taken care of it. And reason, verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You see, Prince of Peace, peace with God, peace of God. Philippians 4, 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I am with you always. Be still and know that I am God. You are mine, and nothing can separate you from my love or my presence. Peace of God. Amen. Jesus, we thank you for hearing our prayers and blessing your word to our lives. We ask you to be with us in everything. We ask you to guide us, quicken our hearts. Lord, the things that trouble us, may they pop into our mind, and may we immediately ask your guidance, your peace, and your direction to be upon us. For Lord, you've promised to work all things together for good. So let us be at peace while you are in the process of working these things out. We ask your blessing, your direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.